Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Until we can welcome musicians back to our studio, our soundcheck performances here at newsounds.org are featuring a mix of remote performances and favorite sessions from the past, like this one. From the studios of New York Public Radio, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. The Lebanese rock band Mashru Leila has become known throughout the Middle East for dancey, catchable songs that talk about topics like gay rights, women's rights, political corruption, and violence. They have become enormously popular and enormously controversial, even banned in some spots. But they're here in our New York studio today to play some songs from their latest album called Ibn Layl. Here is Mashru Leila live on Soundcheck.
خلي الوقت اللي قضيته لك وخنوق النفس اللي كنت لك بس قبل ما تقبرني يلي شو كان صاري
Oh,
That is the band Mashru Leila, the Lebanese rock band, live here in our New York studio with a song called Roman. And boy, I missed an opportunity there to introduce a song whose title I could actually pronounce. So Hamid Sino is the lead vocalist of the band, and behind our piano and also playing his guitar is Firas Aboufaker, Haik Pavazian playing the violin, and Carl Jurgis behind our drum kit. Hamid, the song that we just heard, that repeated Alehem, mm-hmm. Is that as low as your voice goes?
No, I can get pretty low, but
really?
I feel like, yeah, but some of that stuff is... You know, like the lowest parts of your range aren't really parts that you actually end up using. It's
yeah.
just illustrative, I think, extra, whatever.
Because it's, you know, it's like a really kind of striking sound.
It's pretty bassy.
Yeah. And who are the Romans in this song?
I mean, the song itself is actually about betrayal and sort of wanting to survive a moment of betrayal and pick up the pieces and move on and charge. So the references are actually to, you know, Jesus and Judas, and essentially Jesus being sold off, right,
mm-hmm.
to get crucified,
right.
Which I guess is definitively megalomaniacal, but we put it in there anyway.
Well, now you guys, you formed at the American University in Beirut, right?
Yes, sir.
And we see here in the West, you know, we've seen years of conflict in Beirut and in mm-hmm. Lebanon, but we still have this image of Lebanon as being, for the Middle East, a fairly progressive country, you know, years of Francophone influence and the American University, et cetera. What is it like there now? For you as an openly gay singer, for this band, you know, mm-hmm. courting controversy, what's it like on the ground there?
Lebanon's a really complicated place, honestly. I think if anyone starts to try and actually explain what life in Lebanon is like, you probably know they have it wrong.
Mm.
That said, you know, it is in a lot of ways, and definitely in many circles, you find sort of these strange sort of pockets of resistance, these really sort of phenomenal pockets of progressiveness, quite unlike sort of what's more common in the country itself and in, you know, many other places in the Middle East. I wouldn't say Lebanon is exceptional in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
We've found audiences all over the region. We've also met activists all over the region that, you know, that operate in very large circles that have been trying really hard. I think it's a question of basically governments not really sort of being representative, I think, of what the actual people are like mm-hmm. more often than otherwise.
Well, speaking of, you know, finding audiences around the Middle East, there was an article in the New York Times. The title caught my eye, you know, gay fans in Egypt arrested at rock concert. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I know who this is going to be. And sure enough, it was you guys.
Yep.
And people were arrested simply for unfurling the rainbow flag.
Yeah.
Although other people were then arrested leaving the concert for, quote unquote, practicing debauchery.
I don't think any of the numbers are actually out about how many people were actually arrested because of the concert itself.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I mean, the only people that we can sort of completely verify were actually at the concert were the two people that raised rainbow flags, who were arrested quite late in the day. You know, they were arrested maybe a week or 10 days after the arrests actually started. Before that, you know, the Egyptian police had been arresting people off of gay dating apps like Grindr,
right.
And, you know, setting up fake profiles to entrap people and then trying to use the concert as an excuse. But we actually don't have any numbers to...
Right.
We have no idea how many of those people were actually at the show three days after the show.
So no one was actually arrested while you were on stage?
No, no one was arrested while we were on stage. No one was arrested right after the concert. Everything happened a few days later after the, you know, the government and the media started this sort of widespread moral panic, which, you know, as much as it pains me to say this and as much as I think it's horrible, at the end of the day was actually a pretty effective way, I think, for the government to distract people from, you know, the rest of what was going on in the country. Suddenly everyone was preoccupied with a concert and, you know, claims of there being a 35-person Satanist orgy, essentially. I mean, that was actually...
Was that, that was in the
That was
press?
Actually in some of the articles, yeah.
Wow.
Which is quite strange, I have to say.
Sounds kind of fun, actually, but...
Well, I will not comment on that for fear of getting more people in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, totally.
So, you know, as you've gone from place to place, even within Lebanon and throughout the Middle East, you do find this kind of spectrum of responses, people mm-hmm. who really love what you do and mm-hmm. find it really important and empowering and engaging, and then people for whom you are the devil.
Yep.
Is there anything in between? Are there any people who just saying, oh, yeah, nice music, I can dance to that?
Sure. I think it's really difficult to find nuance. You know, not just in people's sort of ideological reactions to the band, but also in the cultural criticism itself, when it comes to sort of formalist critique of what we do musically. It's also equally polarizing, which I find quite surprising.
Well, because it is hard to separate the medium and the message.
For sure.
You know, it's delivered in a really, I mean, this album, Ibn Hilal, is, am I saying that right?
Yeah,
Ibn
Hilal? Totally. This
seems to be more kind of mainstream rock than your earlier records, which were more of what we would call, I guess, alternative rock. Is that fair to say?
I don't really think so, to be honest. I think the album itself, sort of conceptually and lyrically, was about being inside clubs. So there are a lot of sort of references to club music,
right.
Sort of early EDM and the kind of 80s synth pop that we still see played in clubs in Lebanon for 80s night, which are still a thing all over the country.
Yeah.
So there are obvious hat tips, I think, and nods to certain key moments in the history of pop music and the history of dance music, be that sort of Kraftwerk or Tina Turner or, you know, Michael Jackson in places, Fleetwood Mac. I'll leave it at this. It wasn't a conscious effort to try and sound more palatable. I think we gave up on that quite some time ago.
And yet everybody you just mentioned, I would say, are pretty mainstream.
I love those people.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
The album is now out in a deluxe version. Mm-hmm. How does it differ from the original?
For starters, there's a track that wasn't on the original album, which is Roman, which is a song we just played. Mm-hmm. We also did something that... it's a little strange for us, which is we included these sort of little snippets from really early demos of the actual songs, but then also the rearrangements that we did over the course of, you know, the year and a half that followed the release of the album. So for example, with Maghawir, we were actually in the States when, you know, the Orlando incident happened. It was like 2 days after Orlando, and it felt impossible to sort of avoid being obsessed.
because that song is about a nightclub shooting.
That song is about shootings in a club. Yeah, definitely. That song is about, essentially toxic masculinity. We included a recorded version of mm-hmm. that on the deluxe.
What we're getting to hear, in effect, is the process.
Right.
So let's hear another song. I'll leave this one to you, if you don't mind.
This one is called Bint El Khanda.
All right, Mashru Leila, the Lebanese rock band, performing here in our soundcheck studio.
قالت لك عادي قلبك ربطت عوادي
The song is called Bent El Khandak. It's the band Mashru Leila here in our Soundcheck studio in New York. And you'll find that on both versions of their latest album, the original Ibn Hilal and the deluxe version that's out now. Once again, Hamid Sino is singing and Haik Papazian playing the violin, Carl Jurgis behind the drum kit, and Firas Aboufaker, his guitar, our piano, some backing vocals. And is it true that the Lebanese Prime Minister, Saad Hariri, was an early fan of this band?
That is a shady question. Okay, look. So as is fairly common, I think, with politicians in most places, they always have cultural attachés, uh-huh. right, that sort of curate these cultural programs for them to attend. And he was at one of our concerts back in the day, in like 2010, I'm going to say. We had a song on the first album that was about trying to deal with the ridiculous amounts of security checkpoints in Lebanon and how, you know, I guess with a sort of corrupt security apparatus, the people with the guns at the security checkpoints sort of rapidly and more often than otherwise take advantage of that sort of power dynamic to kind of harass and degrade people, especially women, to be honest. But, you know, the song was... The song was about a checkpoint under my house because I was a prime minister's neighbor, awkwardly enough, because Lebanese politicians, knowing full well the sort of the risks that they live with, always decide to get houses smack in the middle of residential neighborhoods to sort of, you know, make everyone else's lives equally dangerous. Mm. And so that song was about, you know, that security checkpoint. He happened to be there, so we sort of explained what the song was to him. Like, we called him out in the middle of the concert and told him that the song was about his security. He left shortly after. I don't know, to be honest, if it was because he was scandalized by the amount of cursing that was there in the lyrics, or if it was just because also, I mean, more often than otherwise, political figures who attend these cultural events don't tend to stay for the whole thing because of security concerns.
Right.
So, you know, who knows, but...
So what is the Lebanese music scene like? Especially, you know, you mentioned there are clubs. Are they listening to, you know, British bands and American bands? Or is there a homegrown indie underground music scene that is active and thriving despite everything that's going on?
There's a little bit of everything. I'd say most listenership in Lebanon is actually sort of just, you know, the Lebanese pop industry.
You mean like Fairuz and the Rakhbani Brothers? And
those aren't really pop, I'd say. But I'm
talking about like old school pop.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yes. And Fairuz herself is sort of this weird combination of a very popular cultural figure who was also sort of synonymous with certain sort of patriotic tendencies. So she's a really tricky figure to sort of look at and understand. But, you know, really, we just have sort of like the same logic as like top 40 charts exists with Arabic music. You have these sort of cookie cutter pop stars, sort of formulaic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, we do have an indie scene. We also have, you know, a lot of clubs in Beirut in particular that play a lot of sort of EDM. We actually have a strangely large metal scene.
Yeah. Well, that I okay. can
for
I
those
can
of you listening,
that.
There's someone behind the window who just like full on Yeah, that is, like she was living for it.
That's my producer, Karen.
Hey, she's, Karen.
Karen is the drummer in a metal band.
Awesome.
Yeah. But that doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's intense music for people who are living in intense situations, you know?
Perhaps. Yeah, but it's actually also just a lot of bubblegum. You know what I mean?
Like,
I think there's an equal...
I meant the metal scene.
Oh, right.
Specifically.
Well, it's not that big, right? but I think there's an understandable sort of investment in music that offers people a certain kind of escapism, understandably, and you know, that's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's particular to Lebanon.
But that's not what they go to you for.
Well,
I mean, you can dance here. I mean, you guys have recorded with Hercules and the Love Affair, right?
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
So you've been known to get people up and dancing, I suppose. the band is Mashru Leila, the Lebanese band here with us in our New York studio. You want to do Asabi next?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's hear another live performance. The band is Mashru Leila, live on Soundcheck.
أكو بالأسود والأبيض بتشقشق سمتي أسود وأبيض نحن بعدنا شي متعارفين مع بعض هدقيقة بالحمام كنا أقرب الأصحاب زيف للإهتمام اللي يني بنحب بدي كون مثل بيروت شو حلو الليلة كل شي منتمنى موجود وبتزن نفسي بس لبرر الوجود ابن الليل ابن الليل ابن
Great stuff from Mashru Leila, live here in the Soundcheck studio, the song called Asabi, from the most recent album called Ibn Layl. And Hamid, I started by asking after the first song whether that was as low as you can go. Is that as high as you can go?
I have no idea, actually.
We can maybe when we're off the air, we'll do a little piano register test.
Yeah, no, very nice. Do you guys, you still live in Lebanon?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like the kind of troubled place that if you make an international reputation for yourself, you might want to return to, but maybe not stay in. But right. It seems like you guys are, is this why you write in Arabic when you could clearly be writing in English as well? Is it really directed to your...
Well, no, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a question of direction. I will say this. When we started making music, we, for starters, completely honestly, had zero intention of, you know, we just never in our wildest dreams thought we'd be sort of touring the world with this. We were a college band making music for ourselves and for our friends. We didn't even think we'd have an audience in Lebanon, mind you. And we started making music in Arabic with the intention of, you know, sort of just making sure that that some stuff doesn't get ignored. And it was really sort of a sense of feeling like our work was, you know, in Lebanon, in the Middle East, in the Arab world, and for, you know, essentially us, but also for our understanding of what that place could be. I will say this, with Lebanese passports, most of the band, right, Lebanese passports, it becomes very difficult to sort of entertain the idea of relocating. It's not exactly easy to find, to be allowed into people's countries to perform, let alone to live as a musician. I don't know. We do love it there. Our families are there, our friends are there, and everything we know about, you know, ourselves and about life and about making music has been, you know, through being there and working there. And it's very strange to sort of imagine yourself leaving.
Well,
I'm gonna figure it out though.
For us, it's a great sort of insight into a part of that part of the world that most Americans don't see, don't hear. So thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you for having us.
The band is Mashru Leila. Guys, thank you so much for coming in and performing for us this afternoon.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
That soundcheck session came from our archives. You can hear lots more and check out our newly produced remote sessions on our website, newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer, Karen Havlick, and I'm John Schaefer.